Off the Ball, GAA.
I think the manner in which Jack and his backroom team managed life post-Mead was just marvellous.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Football on Off the Ball with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Well, you're welcome again to another Sunday kickback on Off the Ball and reviewing what was a thrilling Premier League tussle between Newcastle United and Arsenal. It finished 2-1 to Arsenal. Newcastle taking the lead in the first half with Nick Voltamada before Marino stepped up with an equaliser late in the second half, and then a winner from Gabriel for Arsenal. Vinny, you're alongside me for commentary. A brilliant, brilliant game. We'll go into a little bit more detail in a moment, but just... what does this result mean for Arsenal in terms of the, and I know it is early in the season, but the Premier League race? There was a feeling that with Liverpool slipping up yesterday against Crystal Palace, that Arsenal had to win this match.
Yeah, I think they probably did have to win it. It's very early in the season, and I think, to be fair to Arsenal, I think you need context of they played City, Manchester United, Liverpool, and now Newcastle away. So they started with a tough run of games. So it would have been a long chase and back, it feels like. But at the same time, the weekend has gone perfectly for them. Instead of being sort of 8 points behind Liverpool today, they're only 5, and then they got a big win. So it was a big sort of momentum shift, you would feel, for them. The way they celebrate, the way they celebrated in terms of the staff, they knew that. And the manner in which you do it, it's hard to explain. It's the same 3 points as winning 2-0 up there, but the manner in which he done it will have a huge galvanised effect in the dressing room. Will have a huge sort of feel good factor about people in Arsenal, and I think it's a massive moment for them. I think Newcastle played their part and allowed them back into the game. That's fine, but Arsenal seized the moment late in the game and were so dominant in that last 15 minutes.
We'll come back to Arsenal then. Just to look at the home team, Newcastle United. So, well, what the result means basically is Liverpool now still on top, 15 points, Arsenal on 13, and Crystal Palace on 12 in third position, with Tottenham in fourth on 11 points. And they're joined in 11 there by Sunderland and Bournemouth City back in 10 on 10 points. Newcastle United in 15th position on 6 points after 6 matches, and just 2 points above the bottom three again early in the season. But Newcastle United, there's been a fair few changes in personnel. They obviously lost Alexander Isak. They bring in Wissa to replace him. He's going to be out injured for a long spell. We had Voltamada starting up front. You were impressed with his performance today. He got the goal. But, you know, the longer this goes on for Newcastle and their struggles in front of goal, which we mentioned in the preview, just 4 goals from 6 matches. Is there a little bit of concern about Newcastle United and how their season might go in the long run?
Yeah, I think there is. I think they've got enough about them, particularly the midfield three is good as any three in the league, or certainly on par with it, I think. I think the thing that would concern me is, I think Eddie Howe probably lost them this game in one sense. In one sense, he's, and that's what happens at the highest level. Eddie Howe's done a wonderful job at Newcastle over the last couple of years. He's sort of kept the noise about the sort of bigger picture of the ownership of Newcastle, all of that stuff. He's managed that quite well. Losing Isak is obviously a huge blow for them. It's that is a hammer blow to what they're all about. But I mean, he's made a couple of changes. Players as well have made mistakes, but the changes today didn't work for him. He went to a back five on the 72nd minute, quite early, set in, and look, if they'd hang on and not conceded, it's the right decision, but ultimately it cost them because they had no out ball. It didn't work for them. Substitute Anthony Gordon was playing quite well. Murphy had a big chance just before being taken off. He should have actually done better. He was one-on-one with Declan Rice, and Rice just about got behind him. And ultimately, Newcastle have shot themselves in the foot. Best team have won today in Arsenal. They were very dominant for a long period of time. But Newcastle have given away 3 points, and you've got to seize them moments when they're there for them, and he didn't. So there will be some criticism of Eddie Howe in terms of his decisions today and the players. I'm not saying he's under huge pressure in the sense of his job, but they've got to get going and get going quickly. That was a big blow for Newcastle today.
Yeah, and you said something interesting to me as well, because, and look, they obviously got a bit of bad luck with Livramento getting injured in that 77 minute, meaning that Lascelles had to come into the centre back position and push Dan Byrne back out on the left. But I felt that Alanga wasn't getting into the game enough, that that counter-attacking ability that he has, the pace to put on Arsenal under pressure, wasn't used. But you felt maybe it was that switch to a back five that maybe prevented that from happening.
Yeah, they went with Anthony Gordon and Murphy wide, and they were a threat, and all of a sudden it wasn't that. If it had been a direct replacement like Alanga for Murphy, you'd have seen fresh legs and the same sort of ability to get the ball forward. But once they went into a back five, it was wave after wave of attack from Arsenal, and at one stage he'd over 90% possession in that sort of 10 minute period where it was just constant Arsenal pressure. And obviously Arteta emptied his bench and was a little bit more attack minded, and Newcastle paid the price for it and just soaked up too much pressure, and ultimately they caved under, again, two set pieces. But it was more than that. Odegaard had picked out a brilliant pass in behind him for Lewis Kelly that won a corner. But ultimately, from a Newcastle point of view, decision making this season on the pitch hasn't been really good. You go back to Anthony Gordon's tackle against Van Dijk that cost him 3 points earlier on. Nick Pope made a couple of brilliant saves, one world class save. Today at 1-1, he catches the ball from a corner, he tries a quick clearance that isn't on, and within 30 seconds Arsenal get a corner and they score from it. So all them little moments and five moments are going against Newcastle at the moment, and it's a bit of a struggle for them, and you just need a win under the belt and then win soon.
One high point from the Newcastle performance today, a player who stood out to both, was Malik Thiaw. Really impressive there alongside Sven Botman.
Yeah, he was excellent. And Botman as well. The two of them are very good. Dan Bourne just about kept Saka under wraps. There was times where it was a struggle against him, and Anthony Gordon had to do a huge amount of work up and down to give a little bit of cover in that position. But I thought Chow was exceptional. He'd one misplaced pass in the first half, and it sticks out. The only reason it sticks out is because he was so good at everything else he'd done. And he's a young enough player, centre half, only 23, 24. Looks a real find in terms of the future for Newcastle. They're very much loaded in that centre half position. They've got a lot of strength there. That doesn't seem to be the problem. It's how they replace the Isak goals will be the problem.
And I wonder, because it did seem around the start of the summer that Eddie Howe, some of his comments, that he was almost resigned to losing Alexander Isak to Liverpool, and the club's decision to try and force him to stay, it kind of the saga just went on and on and on. And the fact then that it happened so late, it gave them so little time. I know they brought Wissa in, you know, they've got Asula there as backup as well. But like, it gave them so little time to get a quality centre forward in there. And like, they put a bid in for Larsson at Wolves, who I think is a really, really good player. But because it was so late, they didn't have any time to negotiate over him.
Yeah, you would think, look, ultimately got Wissa in, so that might have been their end goal anyway, and they've obviously got as much money out of Liverpool as they possibly could. But you wonder if Wissa was training with them, was in a proper structure, wasn't as... We're seeing it with Isak at Liverpool as well. The pre-season was so unstructured that it's affected them. Isak's still not sort of up and running for Liverpool already, and Wissa has picked up an injury, which happens when you're sort of chasing your fitness. I think he was quite good at Brentford, I believe, but at the same time, he got one eye on the prize. He would have known Newcastle were coming from, and that would have been his focus. So you would think that doing that business a little bit earlier would have certainly helped them. But ultimately got the man in the door. And I think it's, as I said to you, it's more than just that striker. I think some of the individual decision making hasn't been good at different stages, and they've got punished. Like, they've got punished today on two set pieces. Arsenal are very clever. We know Arsenal like to put 4 or 5 men behind the back post from corners. They set up like that. Rice goes short to Eze. Ultimately it ends up back at Rice's feet and he whips one in. And Newcastle haven't reacted quick enough and haven't been able to stop the Rice cross. And they got done from that. And that was the first goal from Marino, and they just went from there.
Yep. Eddie Howe's managerial abilities are going to be really tested over the next few weeks, with Wissa out, as we've mentioned. Livramento now looking like he's going to be a long spell on the sidelines. They got Union Saint-Gilloise in the midweek, again, in the Champions League. Then it's Forest at home, Brighton away. Then it's Benfica in the Champions League, Fulham and Spurs then in the league and the League Cup. So it's going to be a really difficult few weeks for Eddie Howe. Newcastle United coming up and in a very poor position in the Premier League after 6 games. Not so for Arsenal now. We're up to second, just 2 points behind Liverpool. And you did say in the commentary, Vinny, in the game, the manner of Arsenal's victory, just how they've won that game. Another late goal, a bit like Liverpool we've seen from them in the opening games of the season. Like, it's just going to send a huge boost of confidence around that dressing room, you'd imagine.
Yeah, anyone that's been involved with a league winning team, no matter what the level is, but even if it's down in your local seven-a-side tournament, the late goals always feel that much better. It always helps that journey back from sort of Newcastle back to London for them. That will feel huge for Arsenal. That will be a big statement win in their dressing room. They'll obviously start to pour a little bit of cold water over as soon as they do their interviews and that, but be under no illusions, that dressing room is buzzing. It's like, players are really, really excited about what's ahead. And obviously, as much as they say it's too early, either way, the Liverpool result yesterday and the way they've made ground on them will mean a lot to them. That was a special moment for them. I didn't see it coming. I thought Arteta was a little bit slow in his substitutions. If Odegaard was fit, you felt like you should have got on the pitch. It feels like they're still searching for something a little bit. Newcastle played into their hands as well, so a few things went away, but ultimately Arsenal done enough to win that game. The penalty should have stood in the first half. People will see it on social media here. It'll be talked about as it does between Sky, ref watching, here on air, on this show and everywhere else. We'll see it discussed, but it was a ridiculous decision, and who knows what would have happened if they had to take the early goal. But a lot of resilience for them. The strength and depth on his bench paid off today. He was able to bring on some exciting players. I think Martinelli is starting to push for a starting place as well in that team now, and that's what Arteta would want. People who were sort of almost slightly below the level last season coming into this team now and helping them kick on. So for them, everything went to plan ultimately with the late goal.
In a weird way, I think this as well kind of helps Arteta from any further criticism, shall we say, because that poor me attitude was slipping into the Arsenal psyche in the second half of last season. They were moaning a lot about referee decisions, about games not going their way, all that kind of stuff. You could see it feeding into the players, and even today players are going up, giving out to the referee about this, that and the other. So now that they got this win, we're not going to see Arteta going out after the game complaining about referee calls, VAR calls, all that kind of stuff as well.
Well, he should complain about the referee's call because it was wrong. Yeah. Where look, results change people's opinions, goals change big moments, and people, ultimately Arsenal have gone on and win today. But after 72 minutes until Newcastle made that substitution, I didn't see where Arsenal were going to get it. Ultimately, all they've done is got two set pieces, and they were two well-taken set pieces. There still is a flaw in Arsenal at the moment, and they still have to find their best combinations. I mean, you can understand going away to Newcastle and playing sort of the two pivots in midfield and Rice settling back a little bit and Eze as the 10. You can understand that, and Trossard off the left to a point. But when you are chasing the game, and when you're at home, you can't continuously do that. And you've got to find a balance of getting some of the better players into the team. And the question will be, where does Eze play if Odegaard is fit? If Saka is fit? You know, what is their best combination? Well, do they need Zubimendi in the team all of the time? Mm. And that is the sort of better way. He has to find that, and he still feels like they're searching a little bit.
I know Eze played as a 10 in his early career. He ultimately kind of ended up more as a winger, really, coming in with Crystal Palace. Where do you think is his best position? Can he hold that 10 role?
Yeah, I think he can, but the problem is Odegaard came on and was sensational for that sort of 5 or 6 minute period. So you're fitting him in. I mean, Saka plays. Odegaard, if he's fit and flying, you think plays. Declan Rice definitely plays. And there's a time where, you know, you can leave an Eze out of team and play Odegaard, or vice versa, have only one of those tens. But Arteta's got to come up with a way where he's either leaving out a Rice, which he won't do, or Zubimendi at home against teams where they've got to go and win. And we've heard that talk of taking the handbrake off this Arsenal team. And what that means is, you know, Premiership is difficult. We've seen results of Brentford beating Manchester United. We've seen Palace beating Liverpool. It's not easy, I get it. But they've got to come up with a way where they're very attack-minded in midfield. And it might be a Rice, Eze and Odegaard playing certain games. That's brave. Doesn't feel like that's in Arteta's DNA. But that midfield combination is probably not as good as Liverpool combinations. But on paper, they've certainly got the same quality of players, Liverpool, when you compare it to Gravenberch, to McAllister, to Szoboszlai. So Szoboszlai isn't probably as good in one sense as a, but he's more of a goal threat. You know, McAllister does a lot more than a couple of the Arsenal players, and Gravenberch does a lot more than Zubimendi. So if you're comparing them to Liverpool, there's a bit of finding to do with the Arsenal and combinations to come with that. So it feels like they're still searching, but it's been a brilliant weekend for them.
And is Gyökeres part of the answer to that search? Like, I felt in his first few games, kind of looked like he was lumbering around the field. He wasn't up to that kind of the pace of the way Arsenal want to play. But the last couple of games, he's made huge contributions to their performances.
I thought Gyökeres was exceptional today in that game. I thought his work rate, and sometimes as a forward, you're judged just on goals and goals only. I get it, that's their job. But he done a lot more than that. He hassled, he harried, he just was a nuisance. But he also was a little bit of quality as well. He probably doesn't get the credit for that. He was unlucky with a couple of little headers here and there. He may not score the goals that Arsenal want a striker to do. He may not be a sort of 15 to 20 man goals. But I think Arteta would be okay with that if Saka, if Martinelli chips in, if Odegaard scores his goals. The problem is, have they got enough around them to score goals? And that will be the challenge, where I'm not sure Gyökeres is going to get the goals they need to take them to a league title. But he's certainly improving week on week, and he was really, really good today. And that's the best I've seen him play all season. And it's Newcastle had to be right at it just to defend against them, and he's really unlucky with the penalty as well. I mean, it should be given, and there's no doubt about it.
Just ask finally and briefly, Vinny, like 6 games in, it is still early days, but we are learning more and more about these teams with the new signings. And I understand that, look, Arsenal probably need a little bit more betting in time for a couple of players. Same with Liverpool with Isak and signings they've made late on. But do you think, and 10 games is probably when you make the real assessment, but do you think it's going to be a two-horse race between those two again, or do you see anybody else coming around the outside?
I think we're at the stage where you need to cover yourself a little bit and say City, Liverpool and Arsenal are still the three teams, and if anyone finishes ahead of them, you're there, thereabouts. It feels like the win in the league is in the three of their squads. Mm-hmm. You couldn't write off Pep Guardiola, you couldn't write off Manchester City in terms of the quality and the strength depth they have there. I've gone from being thinking Liverpool are too far ahead when all of these players click to thinking this Arsenal squad is exceptional if Arteta gets it right, to now have a little fear of what Man City are about to do. So it's so difficult to call. I think if Liverpool very best players click and play really well, they've probably got the best starting 11. But Arsenal have built the real strength and depth of the squad all of a sudden, and we've seen that sort of play out today late in the game.
Great stuff, Vinny. Thank you very much, and thank you for listening and watching.
Football on Off the Ball with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.